No other Hollywood diva has captured the imagination of gay men quite like Joan Crawford. Most people credit Faye Dunaway's melodramatic portrayal in Mommy Dearest for turning Joan into a high camp icon that's still on everyone's mind, even though Miss Crawford died in 1977.
Today, writer John Hamilton joins us to talk about his new book, Mommy Smearest, which brings the Hollywood legend back from the grave to comment on selfies, the Kardashians, and the superficial nature of celebrity.
Plus, celebrities' obsession with cleanliness.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians might get canceled.
Is the outrageous viral McChicken video part of a McDonald's marketing campaign?
And reality TV Ice Truckers star Daryl Ward dies in a plane accident while scouting locations for his new series about plane wreckages.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
There's a sale happening now through Labor Day. We're offering 20% off of everything at our store, feastoffun.com/store. Just use the coupon code FUN at checkout to get 20% off of everything.
We have brand new t-shirts, mugs, and tote bags filled with fun. Plus, we're introducing a whole new line of high-quality leather goods. Wallets, iPhone cases, backpacks, shaving kits, and more, all handcrafted in Los Angeles.
Order today before the sale ends on Labor Day. Use promo code FUN at checkout to get 20% off of everything.
Our guest today is writer John Hamilton, who, like many gay men, is mesmerized with the late Hollywood actress Joan Crawford. Maybe it's Faye Dunaway's melodramatic portrayal of Joan that turned her into a high camp icon that keeps her on everyone's mind, even though she died in 1977. John has a new book, Mommy Smearest, which brings back the Hollywood legend back from the grave to comment on selfies, the Kardashians, and the superficial nature of celebrity. Welcome to Feast of Fun, John.
Hi, guys. Thank you for asking me.
You sure sound a lot different in person.
You don't sound like Joan Crawford at all.
I am not Joan Crawford.
Because the book is done from the point of view as though she's actually writing it. So what's the process like of her entering into your brain from Hollywood heaven?
You thought that the grave would keep me from publishing a tell-all memoir? You were wrong. Dead wrong.
Wow, we should have gotten you to do the video.
Next time.
But so what motivated you to bring back Joan Crawford from the grave and get her to comment on the Kardashians and selfies and stuff?
This book is written to be a parody snapshot of our current reality celebrity and selfie culture, in which, as Miss Crawford says, people, quote, think they're a goddamn movie star because they have a smartphone and a Twitter account, end quote. Joan Crawford considered herself one of the biggest movie stars ever, and maybe she was, you know, for her time period, and her stardom was very important to her. And she does not like the fact that people who now have a smartphone think that they are movie stars as well. This rankles her.
So, because the actual Joan Crawford came from very humble origins
very
in
humble.
Texas. She was from a little farm girl from Del Rio. Well, that's a different movie, but but she's somebody who sort of her career sort of followed the rise of the predominance of the Hollywood film. She went from silent film stars
yes.
to being sort of a nudie exotic dancer to
yes,
one
exactly.
of the most decorated and respected actresses of her of ever.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was not until Faye Dunaway portrayed her in Mommy Dearest that we sort of started to change the way we think about Joan Crawford, and certainly sort of made her into this outrageous icon that, you know, smashing vases and being obsessed with cleanliness and torturing her kids, which
taking down trees with axes or roses with axes.
Well, Joan has scientific reasons for all of those things that you're mentioning, and she addresses them in a feature length lie within the book called Monster Dearest, Keeping Up with the Crawfords. She's got a two track defense of herself as Mommy Dearest. Number one, she claims executive immunity as CEO of her household, like any other Wall Street executive lying to a Senate investigative committee. And then secondly, she's got a whole body of scientific hypotheses as to why she did what she did. And for instance, you talk about cutting down trees in the middle of the night. What you don't know is there was a citrus canker scare in Brentwood, and they were all ordered to chop down citrus trees overnight. That's what happened.
Well, I didn't realize that, like, we associated Joan Crawford with an axe until the movie Straitjacket came out, and she did all these publicity photos of her holding an axe. So it was funny that the movie, you know, one of the most memorable scenes in Mommy Dearest, the film, is her, like, screaming at her daughter, bring me an axe to chop down a tree, because that tree reminded me of somebody in Hollywood that I want to get even with.
That is another inaccuracy. She never said, bring me the axe. They were out in the garden trying to remove these citrus canker trees, and she wanted to make it a joyous event. So she said to a visiting child who was staying overnight, she said, please ask the housekeeper to bring us some snacks. Well, there were Santa Ana winds blowing that night. Her words were whipsawed. And those meteorological records are now lost to history. And that's what happened. She never said, bring me the axe.
Now, what drew you to writing a book about Joan Crawford?
The comedian Jerry Lewis once said years ago, before social media and reality celebrity took over our culture, if you're having a bad day, go outside and look around. You will laugh. And that's never been more true than it is now, because everybody has, as Miss Crawford puts it, a goddamn personal publicity machine in their pocket. We don't even have to go out and look around. They're sending us status updates, you know, like they're movie stars issuing press releases. And it's just really amusing to me to see this.
Do you have an Instagram account, or you're not, you told me you're not on Grindr or Scruff or any of this?
No, none of it.
Part of this is like you have a personal vendetta against the internet.
I do not have a personal vendetta against the internet. And I did get my first iPhone 2 weeks ago only because a BlackBerry fell in the water.
Everybody listening is like, what? Yeah. Blackberries? What's that?
They're not in season.
With those big old slide out keyboards like a church organ. Those things are like carrying an Etch-a-Sketch around in your pocket.
So do you enjoy having a new iPhone?
Well, I will say that it links up well with the new MacBook Pro. So that's really the only reason I got it. I felt like I was backed into a corner and I had to.
Available at Apple.com.
And wherever else fine Apple products are sold, I'm sure.
So, yeah.
But what about Joan, though? Like, why Joan and not some other actress or somebody else?
Like Bette Davis, for example.
Because I would imagine Bette Davis would probably be mad at social media as well.
Well, you referenced Faye Dunaway's portrayal of Joan Crawford and that Joan is now an outrageous icon. And really, Mommy Dearest, the movie, elevated the Joan Crawford persona to sort of a Bullwinkle cartoon, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade cartoon float. It's big. It's larger than life. It's colorful. It's compelling. It can't possibly be real. I mean, this is the fun voice. You know, Bette Davis is not that much fun. But Joan Crawford, it was all about the glamour. But you pulled back that drape and look what there is.
But, you know, the real Joan Crawford did do some outrageous things. And one of them is that she did torment her co-star, Bette Davis, by sewing weights into her dress when she was supposed to carry her body. There was her, like, giving crates of Coca-Cola products
to the staff.
It's Pepsi Cola.
Right, yes, Joan was on Pepsi.
And Bette Davis was like, oh, I'd rather Coke.
Everybody Coke.
There was a Cola Wars back then. Okay, and so the real Joan Crawford did do some outrageous things, and just Mommy Dearest sort of sensationalized it.
Well, it definitely sensationalized it. And Joan Crawford is beautiful, whereas Bette Davis was not beautiful. Sorry to tell everybody that, you know, who's a fan, but she wasn't. And Joan Crawford was airbrushed beautiful.
Now, in your book, you sort of talk about Joan Crawford auditioning for TV roles that she probably didn't, like Endora and Bewitched.
Right. Well, the book is written as her fake autobiography. She's also got a couple of things she's got to do to get into Hollywood heaven, because she was turned away at the gate and sent to hell, which we can get into in a second if you like. But yes, through the book, she revisit some of her fake moments from her life, and they include auditions for TV shows like Gilligan's Island. And to her horror, she thought she was being summoned to the set of Gilligan's Island to read for the part of Ginger Grant, the movie star, at what, close to 60? And then she was horrified to find herself reading for the part of Mrs. Howell, who she said clearly called for an aging hag, but she guessed Bette Davis was busy filming Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte at that time.
And what's the difference between Hollywood heaven and regular heaven?
Well, pretty much like it is now, Hollywood heaven is full of superficial celebrity type people, and it's where they live as opposed to where other people live who have gone to heaven. And when Joan got to the gate of Hollywood Heaven after decades of space travel, so, you know, she may have been a little bit hungover.
She's a Scientologist, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So, she could have been strung out, badly needing a cigarette and nicotine withdrawal or whatever. So she stopped at the gate by this guard who is some young kid who wants to be a rapper. He's got a sleeve tattoo and he's texting and he won't look up at her as he tells her that she's actually been sent to Hollywood hell for reasons well known to her. Well known to her.
For making her daughter clean the bathroom at 3 a.m, which she actually did not do that.
Okay, I'm going to give you one more of her scientific hypotheses debunk that myth. Joan was in bed one night reading Photoplay magazine or a scientific journal, I forget which, and it said that there was a parasitic fungal bacteria invading Brentwood bathrooms, and you could only remove it at night when the germs were asleep and released their suction hold. You had to surprise them at night. If you come in during the day, they see you coming, they're going to hold on.
There's a lot of people who today are famous not because of being excellent singers or popular actors or anything, just for their sake of their own fame. Mm-hmm. What does Joan Crawford have to say about the Kardashians or the Paris Hiltons or...
Well, Joan actually thinks that the Kardashians are brilliant, and especially Kris Jenner for having created the family empire. And as Joan says, if one is playing oneself, one does not have to chase movie roles. And she says if she had known it was that easy, she would have spelled Crawford with a K and not busted her ass making actual movies.
You know that there's a photo of Star Magazine that's being circulated on the internet today. That's the headline says like the Kardashian TV show has been canceled. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. But I hear it's a fake.
It's not a fake. It's actually the cover of Star Magazine. And,
then you know it's true.
The Kardashians are doing just fine. Thank you. But the TV show is actually on the verge of being canceled.
So it may be canceled.
So the cover says finally Kardashians canceled, but it's actually a bait and switch inside the magazine. It said that Keeping Up with the Kardashians is only on the verge, but Kris Jenner is scrambling to save it. The biggest problem, according to the magazine, is that not everyone in the fame-obsessed family is upset about the possible cancellation, and some are welcoming it. Mm. A insider is quoted as saying, Kris is absolutely desperate to save her show, but she can't do it without her kids. And nobody in that family wants to keep doing it.
Well, I think they have to keep doing it, don't they, if they want to keep that empire going? It's like an advertisement.
You know,
the things that they sell is like if they just kind of like give up on that, what's going to happen to all their product lines?
Kathy Griffin stopped doing My Life on the D-List and she's
But she's an actual performer. The Kardashians
with actual
don't
talent.
Actually do anything.
Is
right?
Kathy Griffin?
Of course she is.
Is she? No, I don't know. They might be feeling like the show is cementing them to one channel, mm-hmm. one property. And these are, you know, adults.
Oh, and so now they're like, we can live on Instagram and Twitter and it doesn't matter to have a TV show.
Maybe they feel like they want to start their own TV show. Maybe they want to go in a different direction.
Yeah, we saw how well that worked out for Caitlyn.
Yeah. 2 seasons of I Am Kate.
It was so good,
we only needed 2 seasons.
Yeah, it was so good, they almost canceled it the first time around. Mm-hmm. Remember all those rumors about it? You know, so... Yeah. What would Mommy Dearest, what would Joan Crawford say about Caitlyn Jenner, do you think?
She would probably tell her to soften it up a little bit.
She was too difficult?
No, she's still a little bit butch.
Mm. And so, what kind of research did you do on Joan Crawford's life to write this book or to get into her mind space?
Research.
Did you just watch Mommy Dearest over and over again, or what did you do?
This is a parody, and I think once any gay man watches Mommy Dearest, it's pretty much cemented on your hard drive, and you can just recall any scene you want at any moment. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite scene from the movie?
Oh, boy. Well, I like all the classics, of course, but to me, the whole picture is like the Rocky Horror Picture Show of movie star bios. You know, it's just fun and colorful and you laugh all the way through it.
The pacing is really fast compared to Rocky Horror Picture Show that sort of dies in the middle.
A little slow, right?
It's really slow. Like everybody gets so excited because, you know, one thing builds up to another until the time warp, you know, and then it just kind of goes nowhere, you know, and then it starts picking up the pace when they start doing a Rose Tints My World number.
And that's one. Oh, I think one of my favorite scenes is when she's on her couch and like she's got her leg up in the air.
Oh, that's a great one.
She's feeling it. You're just kind of like, what the? hell is going on here?
Oh, and Mommy Dearest, yeah, and when Mommy she's going, looking at the script and going, it's not good. Are you concerned that the book reviewers are going to look at your book and be like, it's not good, it's not good?
No, Hollywood taught Miss Crawford to ignore the thoughts of uninformed critics, so I'm really not too concerned about it either. But to your point, Mark, about that great scene where she's got the leg in the air, that is one of my favorite scenes. And in fact, we parody that in the video where, you know, she's seated with in her little bathing suit outfit, which she dances and sings through with the top coat. And she's got one leg stuck straight up in the air as she throws People magazine over her shoulder saying, you know, you all think you're in People magazine now because you've got a fake book page.
Now, you have a video out that goes along with this, and it was done by a female impersonator. Well, no, she's an actual female who does impersonations of many different celebrities. So she's
a comedian who does vocal impersonations is what you're trying to say.
That's what it is. Tell us about the video, because it's Bitch. What is it titled again?
Bitch, Selfie Ain't Make You No Movie Star.
It's also the subtitle.
Voiced by Bonnie Kilroe.
Yes.
Okay.
It's on YouTube, and you can also get to it through Joan's website, mommysmearest.com. It's a 4-minute animated video, and we were very fortunate to have a guy from one of the leading parody TV and movie franchises do the animation for us. He just hit it out of the park. And it's Joan, and she opens up in a scene, having just come back from Movie Star Heaven, and she's perusing the Kardashian Collection closeout rack and flies into a tirade by these two mall rats who are taking selfies of themselves with her because she has recreated herself as the rap artist Mommy D. And it is Mommy D who then launches into her song, Bitch, Selfie Ain't Make You No Movie Star, in which she takes down pretty much every institution that purports to have us believe what they tell us in our culture today.
Are you seriously concerned that, you know, that in terms of entertainment or storytelling or culture in our society, that we're sort of losing ourselves in the superficiality of wealth and glamour and not actually sharing ideas and stories with each other?
Well, I think that, as Miss Crawford says in the book, it's kind of like social media and reality celebrity have kind of become like smoking and fast food were when they first came out. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought they were great ideas. And, you know, look at the resulting health pile up at the bottom of that American hill. Mm-hmm. Social media seems to be like fast food in that we instantly consume it. Reality celebrity is the same thing. It's just like sugar. You're eating sugar, but you're really not getting anything meaningful out of any of it. So I would answer your question, yes.
Well, the thing that I find is interesting is you think that Joan is fascinated by the Kardashians, who really just use social media all the time, but she hates somebody like Jennifer Aniston, who's who is an actress who's appeared in a ton of films. But is that coming from a place of jealousy, or what is that?
It is clearly coming from a place of jealousy. And when Miss Crawford returns to Earth to execute the two terms of her probation to get into Hollywood heaven, she first appears in Times Square under the marquee for, quote, yet another goddamn movie starring Jennifer Aniston, with starring in quotation marks. It is clearly jealousy. And Joan also issues a word of caution to Miss Aniston when she says, things change and you may not always be the category winner for leading TV actress sustaining the same perky figure in 18 unrelated goddamn films produced in the same year. So yes, it's jealousy.
And Joan also in this book, she doesn't like Cher. Says she can sing okay, but she's a terrible dancer. Why does she have a beef with Cher?
Well, for a couple of things. Everybody knows Joan was a great dancer. Mm-hmm. And she feels that Cher sort of stole Joan's butch strut and Cher stole Joan's butch slap. And that,
From Mildred Pierce to Moonstruck.
Yes, exactly.
Snap out of it.
And in fact, Joan...
Are you going to read a little bit from this?
Well, I could, but Joan presents a song within the section called Show Ponies / Phonies. And her song is, If I Could Turn Back, I Mean Find the Time, I Was the First Cher. And she basically breaks Cher down, you know, and says she had Bob Mackie and Sonny Bono on her side. So what could I do? I'm no crybaby, no boo-hoo-hoo. But Joan does think that she thinks Cher needs to man up and, you know, acknowledge that she got a lot of her moves from Joan.
Didn't Joan Crawford actually have Cecil B. DeMille on her side.
Well, she had Mr. Mayor.
And MGM. And it's
at
like,
one point in time.
I mean, there's all these great photos.
Box office poison.
But certainly, like, I think that she had access to much bigger and more legendary. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to say Bob Mackie is not a legendary person but in entertainment, but...
Look, so, you've seen the movie. If you want to start boxing Miss Crawford in with logic, you go forward with that. I'm going to step back.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting, you know, for the casual fan of Joan Crawford, they don't realize just how much she danced, especially like in her earlier films. Like, I think there's even, I think you can see it on YouTube where she's dancing nude in a silent film. She's doing like the Charleston or something. And then, of course, there's the famous scene in that, what's the name of the movie, where she dances in blackface.
Yes.
Joan Crawford dance in blackface?
It was like the 1950s or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
It
was a color film in more ways than one. And so it's, it's interesting
in
to
living
see that,
color.
And then you don't see it like her, you know, there's no dancing in Mommy Dear. So a lot of people don't realize that she was a dancer.
Well, and Joan's big beef that spans many, performers, including Cher, Opatra, as she calls her, and J-Lo, and Bella, Bella Streisand. Mm-hmm. Those are all Crawford quotes. Joan feels that Joan was the first movie star crossover to being a rock star because of her 1929 film Untamed, where she sang Chant of the Jungle. And as Joan says, it wasn't even nominated for a goddamn Grammy. And yet Bella Streisand and Cheryl Patra flounce in years later and claim they were the first movie star singers. So this annoys her.
The movie that Joan Crawford is in blackface is Torch Song from 1953. And if you Google it, you think this is Photoshopped, just like the Kardashians being canceled tabloid cover story. But in fact, these are both real things that are being shared around. Another thing that's being shared around on the internet right now a lot is this viral video of a guy's big black hard cock masturbating with a McDonald's McChicken sandwich.
It's a great prop.
And it's everywhere.
And if I were out, if I got a chicken sandwich and started masturbating with it and posting it on the internet,
I'd have serious questions about your mental health.
But at the same time, I don't think it would go viral. It wouldn't be something that like everybody, and it's like, you know, comedians like Seth Rogen are commenting on this. It's everybody's like enjoying seeing the collective cringing about it. And Mark, you have a point to make about when viral phenomena ties itself to a brand.
Oh yeah. When people just, you know, we live in this corporate culture, and as much as we try and like separate ourselves from it, it's really impossible. And sometimes when there's a brand involved in it, people are just instantly drawn to it more so because they have feeling towards that brand. If it was just a chicken sandwich from someplace else, nobody would really care that much. So they just think it's weird, but because it's McDonald's, they're just like, oh, they're all over it. Plus, that's a pretty well-endowed cock, I have to say.
So you're thinking that McDonald's actually paid somebody to masturbate with a McChicken sandwich in order to get us talking and saying their brand to associate it with Twitter culture, which I would guess is also their fast food demographic.
Well, and it might be a substitute. Maybe it's like, you know, I'm really thinking about I want cock today, but I can't have a cock. Well, why don't I just get a McChicken sandwich instead? I can walk into the McDonald's and nobody's going to care. I don't have to lurk around in the bathroom there. I can just order it for $1.99 and there I go.
So the internet allows corporations to market in ways that they normally wouldn't by creating outrageous things.
Yeah, but I doubt that McDonald's did.
I'm actually on the fence about it. Yeah. I think that it's very possible that McDonald's might actually covertly be doing this. Of course, they're washing their hands out of the whole situation.
Well, without a doubt.
And Chick-fil-A may be conducting auditions right this minute in their boardroom to follow up with maybe a Dominican, you know, masturbating with their chicken sandwich. Who knows? This could catch on.
And Joan was famous for douching with Pepsi Cola, so. You know, maybe
Joan Crawford douche with Pepsi Cola. I don't know what to believe in this show anymore.
You guys
are full of lies.
It was actually Mountain Dew, another Pepsi product.
She wanted that Mountain Dew freshness in there.
Yeah, I don't know. With the whole viral phenomena about it, it's like there's.
It's amazing that it really caught on because a lot of that kind of stuff could just like, you know, just get buried. It just takes one or two people to really discover it and then throw it and put it out there and let other people latch on to it.
Well, and I like that Joan Crawford is sort of comparing social media and virality to fast food. And here we have the combination.
Yeah, they've merged, haven't they?
Yeah. I was the most disappointed about this, the chicken sandwich, though, is because I ordered mine with special sauce, but it cuts before the special sauce comes out.
Oh, brother.
It's just like, you know, because it's a Twitter video. Unless there's another video, I don't know.
Yeah. This is the European version that you want to see. You know, America are such tight asses.
I want the money shot.
One of the Joan Crawford's in Mommy Dearest iconic lines is, "It's not clean. Do you think this is clean? Do you? I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt." And there's lots of scenes with Joan Crawford obsessing about washing her body, washing her face. Well, it turns out that today they've done studies and people don't buy bars of soap like they used to. They buy liquid soap. Mm. And some people are, some soap, bar soap manufacturers are like, "Americans are dirtier than ever."
Oh, really?
Yeah. But,
because our sales are down.
Because their bar soaps are, but, you know, liquid soap products are never been more popular. And, you know, anybody who favors liquid soap products over bars of soap realizes that it's easier to keep your shower clean when you don't have the lye from the bars of soap.
Is that what it is, the lye that's in it?
Sticks to the shower. Yeah.
I don't know. There's something nice and comforting about holding a bar of soap and washing, you know, your nether regions with it as opposed to liquid soap.
Well, you know, guess who, what demographic bars of soap is most popular with?
Who?
What? Dads.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dad loved Irish Spring.
Yeah.
What's your favorite bar of soap?
I loved Irish Spring. That used to get me so horny.
I hate to tell you, mine's Irish Spring.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love the smell of Irish Spring.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. We get something at Whole Foods right now that has, like, what is it, clove in it or something?
Oh, I just like it because it's a black soap.
Yeah.
And then it's a white soap, and it kind of looks like a killer whale. You
so
know?
It's like an Oreo.
It's kinda, more like an orca.
But like marble. It's like a piece of black and white marble.
Yeah, it's artisanal soap. And I was like, oh, this looks cute in the shower.
But
you know?
It smells good, too.
Yeah.
We had a house guest, too, not too long ago, who I remember seeing, they had a rant on Facebook about, like, how come people are using liquid soap? I don't like liquid soap. It's expensive. What's wrong with a good old bar of soap kind of thing, you know? And so I made sure, I was like, oh, this is almost done. So I made sure that we had that bar of soap in the shower for when they came. And then... you know, and it stays in the shower usually.
Who is this?
I'm not with house guests. And then I was just like, and then I went.
We never have house guests. I don't know who you're talking about.
And then later I went into the bathroom, and then like the bar of soap that's normally there was next to, it was on the kitchen sink next to the liquid soap that's there. So not only did they not want to use the liquid soap to wash their hands or in the thing, they moved the one bar of soap and left it out by the thing.
I want to say the name, can we? This is a good one.
Why does it matter?
Because it's fascinating.
Lady Bunny.
It's Lady Bunny. Lady Bunny stayed with us. Soap. And she's like, "I hate bars of soap."
No, she loves bars
of
soap.
Oh, I want bars of soap. Where's the Irish Spring? It gets me horny. Yeah. I shouldn't actually say that, but I'm fascinated that you noticed that and picked up on it.
Oh, I notice all the things people leave behind in the bathroom.
She's probably the most famous person that has, besides us, that has slept in our apartment.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to do a sweep of that counter before I leave, now that I know you're onto it.
But I was like, because I was lying, she slept in my bed, you know, and I was lying in my bed last night, and I was going, this is the bed Lady Bunny slept in.
Oh, wow. That sort of reminds me of a guy who was...
so funny to
we did fumigate that. After she left.
She was like...
Whoa.
She's like, there's diseases
planned.
On that bed, I tell you. She was worried that I gave her something.
You're reminding me of a Jane Mansfield Playboy shoot where she asked one of the guys on the set for his comb, his pocket comb, and she proceeded to comb her bush, and she handed the comb back to him. And one guy says he's like taking the comb and holding it in both hands and just mesmerized by it because it's just comb Jane Mansfield's bush.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'd put that right in the baggie and seal it up.
If I can have a couple of those pubes.
Well, in the early days of the internet, there was a website that sold poop and hair and snot from celebrities. And I'm just like, it was such a brilliant idea because there's no way you're going to get a DNA test to verify it. Right. And so somebody was just pooping and shitting into Ziploc bags, sending it in the mail and making a killing.
Right.
It.
Like, where would you get that?
Yeah, they were like, well, this was collected at a concert in 1987 and has been in a jar ever since. And I'm like, if you collect a piece of poop and put it in a jar, it's going to dissolve and you're just going to get like a cloudy water.
Yeah, really, you need to put it in amber.
Yeah. Well, but there were some like feces of Madonna's feces and stuff like that.
Was it water? Actually, they just had it in the jar and it would dry out.
I don't,
because you could certainly dry it,
I guess. But it's like,
by what you see on the sidewalk,
how's there, you know, a way to know it? You know, we actually know people actually have installed toilet seats for Madonna, because when she travels, she has to have her own
a fresh toilet seat.
So they have like a and they throw them away, I guess, when they're done. So she has literally a crate of new toilet seats, and everywhere she goes, they unscrew it and put in the new one.
So her toilet seats are just like her CDs, disposable.
Well, have you ever seen LaToya Jackson checking into a hotel room on television?
I can't say that I have. No.
She had a reality TV show for a while, and the weirdest thing that she does is that she travels with a box of sheets, white sheets, and her assistants cover everything in the hotel room with these linens, so she doesn't have to actually touch anything that other people have been touching.
Mm-hmm. I can't really argue with that policy.
You know, it makes sense, because when you go into a hotel room, it's like those the blankets that they give you, they don't wash those in between. Like, they'll wash the sheets and stuff like that, but the blankets don't get washed.
So
if you went in there with one of those little lights, you'd see all sorts of things on there.
Black light lamps.
Yeah, black light lamps.
To see sperm.
Yes.
I want to see the Snopes article on that one.
Go right ahead.
I don't know if that's...
The stuff people do in hotel rooms, it's disgusting. Well, you know what you do in hotel rooms.
I know what I do.
Crank that up to 10.
Yeah. Well,
or maybe dial it back to 10.
Where does he stay? I want to be sure that's not on my list.
Hotels?
Only the fanciest of places.
Yeah, 5 stars. So what would Joan Crawford think about, like, the, you know, because I guess, like, a lot of these celebrities are obsessed with cleanliness, right? It's like Madonna, LaToya.
And so was Joan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she grew up, she was the daughter, her mother was a laundress, they called her back in the day. And so I think that her mother probably always instilled that you have to be clean, or look how dirty these things are, and da da. And so it really just kind of like put it into her mind.
Well, and one of the few actual facts I know about Joan Crawford is that she worked in the school laundry to help pay her tuition at a boarding school. Mm. And so early on, you know, she came to feel maybe that she was not socially as good as other people, and that dirt was maybe a representation of that. So let's scrub the dirt away, and I'm as good as or better than other people.
Do people treat celebrities as if all of them have some form of mental illness? To some degree.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm thinking about this. It's like, anytime that I ever see, you know, somebody famous being interviewed, like, especially like on a podcast.
With kid gloves and stuff.
They're just kind of like talking to them as if they were in the mental ward of a hospital, you know? How are you doing today? Oh, that's great. You know, there's a little bit of a condescending tone of the voice. And I'm wondering, is it something that we just don't comprehend because we're not walking in the shoes of these high profile individuals? And maybe like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump also want to cover the furniture in the hotel rooms with linens too. You know, it's like, it's a situation where just if you get a lot of people chiming in and weighing on you. And
well, about the whole thing with the hotel, so that's about access to resources. Most people don't have somebody that's gonna put up sheets for you.
Yeah, you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, and if LaToya is traveling, it's probably gonna be at somebody else's expense because they're bringing her for a gig or something. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, she can say, this is what I want, this is what has to happen. It's, you know, when Joan Crawford would travel, I guess she came to my hometown of Erie, PA to open up the Pepsi plant. My parents met her.
Wow.
Because they had like an opening ceremony.
Because your mother has to meet every single person that comes into Erie, Pennsylvania.
She's like the Chamber of Commerce.
She's involved in a lot of historical societies.
She's involved in a lot of stuff too.
She's like that character. I don't know if you guys watch The Good Witch. on Netflix. She's like the mayor. Yeah.
My mother is often described as a gadabout in town.
Yes. And that's what the character is like.
Yeah. Oh, so it's genetic with you.
She's everywhere. Everybody knows my mother. And so she met Joan. And the thing that she remembers about Joan Crawford is that when she came to town, she stayed at the Holiday Inn because that was the nicest hotel at the time in my hometown. And she insisted that they have satin sheets for her. And when I met Christina on Mother's Day, and probably what was that, 1996 or 1997, she came to town. She did an event at a gay club. I told her about that, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I was at the Pepsi plant opening too." And I was just like, Oh,
nobody
yeah.
cares about you.
talking about your mother.
I think my mother. Yeah, my mom mentioned you were there too. She didn't. Nobody mentioned that Christina was there. And I told her about the satin sheets. She's like, that sounds exactly like my mother. I'm just like, Joan liked the finer things in life.
I wonder if Joan gave advance notice that she wanted those sheets, or sprung it on them when she got there.
I think my mother said they had to hustle to get them. They had to figure out where to get them.
Yeah, would there be a set of satin sheets in Erie, Pennsylvania at
I
that
would
time?
Imagine that maybe at one of the nicer stores, at the department stores, would have had something like that.
Would Joan Crawford in this day and age, what would her sex life be like, you think?
Ooh, well, her... companion in the book is the Christian rap thug porn star Relentless BBC, so I will let you figure that out.
Well, and you're a good looking daddy who swims a lot, and we're posting a picture of you in a Speedo on the website that you're giving us,
but we won't get that till tomorrow though.
Well, we'll get it later in the day, but yeah. Tell us about this photo.
Well, it's just meant to further parody our social media reality celebrity culture. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous for a spokesmodel for a book to appear in a bathing suit. You're supposed to be in a suit or something.
Honey, if you want them to buy the dress, you got to put it in the window.
Yeah, for sure.
And less is more, if you know what I'm saying, when it comes to clothing.
How about this for an ironic death for a reality TV star? So have you guys ever seen that TV show Ice Road Truckers?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So one of the guys, are you familiar with Daryl Ward? He was one of the Ice Road Truckers. And it's a fun show. You see like these guys try and make it across like the frozen north. Well, he was researching a new reality TV show, and he died in a plane crash trying to get there. And do you know what the reality TV show was about?
Death and plane crashes.
Recovery of plane wrecks.
Wow.
So isn't that interesting? So he was going to like the set to figure out like how they're going to do this and work on the project.
That's interesting.
And then the
karma.
Plane crash, you know, it is, right?
Yeah. The worst thing that'll happen on All Stars is someone's going to throw beads on the stage.
On Drag Race.
Yeah.
All Stars.
Or slapping and hair pulling.
Yeah. Oh, we're excited. This week it's going to be the Snatch Game, huh?
Already? They're not wasting any time.
I know. Snatch Game is this week. They're going full force, and I understand Alaska Thunderfucked is going to do Mae West.
Like I said, mostly new material.
Is she just going to recycle her Lady Bunny act? Is that what it is, or what are you saying?
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, Alaska does Alaska so well, as you said. It's like...
She should have just done herself,
yeah,
right?
Why not do you?
It's kind of like when Madonna started doing Marilyn, and then as... I think it was Michael Musto who said that Madonna showed up at some awards show. She was in a white suit with sort of Barry Manilow makeup, and Michael Musto said she looked like Colonel Sanders as Mae West.
That was for the was it the Grammys where they married all the gay people? Yeah, right.
That's
what
she. So.
That's when she showed up in that white outfit.
She looked like Colonel Sanders.
She looked like Colonel Sanders. Yes. My friend Robin got married on that episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
We had her on the podcast.
Oh, she got married by Queen Latifah.
Nice.
I think her marriage certificate says Queen Latifah.
I do believe it does. Yeah.
And I'm like, isn't Queen Latifah's legal name not Queen Latifah, or is that like? So is it a legal marriage certificate?
Or maybe it was something. I'll have to ask her again and see what it actually says.
But you can listen to that on our website. Just search for I Got Married by Madonna. Mm-hmm. which is a very different story than I Married Madonna.
Mm. A much different story.
How are you liking the book so far? You're traveling around doing a lot of interviews, but you're sort of presenting yourself as her publicist to the press.
Well, this book is about Joan Crawford and Lucille Lasour. You know, it's not about me. It's about how a big movie star and an outrageous movie star, that Bullwinkle cartoon persona, would feel about this celebrity reality, civilian selfie culture of ours. I don't think that my civilian view is of interest. I think that Mommy Dearest parody view is of interest, particularly since Joan has now taken the reins and she is back to reclaim celebrity for true stars.
And so how do we get out? How do we get back to the good time? So you're sort of like a birther, a conservative person when it comes to celebrity people. Let's get back to the good old days when celebrities dressed up in blackface.
Make celebrity great again.
Yes. How do we make celebrities great again?
Well, when Joan gets stopped at the border to Hollywood heaven, first of all, she's mad at the young rapper guard, wannabe rapper, who will not look up at her from his texting. And she says that he better check his list again, because certainly she's supposed to go to heaven, not hell. So he hands her his phone, on which he has pulled up Mommy Dearest, the book and movie, which Joan refers to as a couple of book and movie length biographical typos. So then this little scene ensues in which Joan decides that to sort of charm, con, flirt, maybe fillet her way past the guard into heaven, which turns out to be probation. And she's got to come back to Earth and do two things: rescue celebrity from these reality celebrities and selfie-taken civilians, executives, bishops, congressmen, whomever, and bring down some of these big egos and restore true celebrity. So that the plot unfolds from there.
And but isn't like the, you know, celebrity culture of the golden age of Hollywood was a very elitist institution. Mm. And certainly the one welcome change is that we sort of watered down who can be a celebrity, and a lot of people of color, a lot of poor people, a lot of minorities, disenfranchised voices are now sort of and what we mean by celebrities is people who gather mass attention. I mean, some people think that we're celebrities. They're a little misguided.
You are.
Well, I like to say we're famous to some, but nobody's to most people.
But it's sort of like a micro brewery, you know. Yeah. It's a beer that's being brewed locally for a smaller audience, but they still love it very much the same way they like that, you know, Budweiser, Miller. And so in some ways, like celebrity culture today, can't you argue that it's actually in a better shape?
It's more democratic is what you're saying. And really, you make a great case, and I can't argue with it, but you're arguing with Joan Crawford, who wants stardom restored to the actual stars.
So are you sort of, what is it, people who believe in the royal crown of England? You're a monarchist when it comes to celebrity.
Please don't confuse me with Miss Crawford.
But you wrote this book, and you're sort of making an argument that Joan Crawford feels like out of times. Well, obviously she's out of time. She's been dead for almost 50 years.
It took her a while to get to the gate.
Well, now that you've written this book, have you thought about going back and seeing like some of her older work? Because you were inspired by Mommy Dearest, and that's really kind of like your focal point, and that's the character that you've kind of exploded in your book.
Well, you know, in another interview, I was asked if I was a Joan Crawford fan, and I said, well, you know, despite her unrivaled cinematic body of work of blowing cigarette smoke and slapping faces, which is really kind of what she was as an actress, I don't find her that compelling or interesting as an actress. I think
not even in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Well, the whole movie is great, mm-hmm, but, you know, Joan Crawford is one piece of that movie. Mm-hmm.
Joan Crawford is a sympathetic character in that film, and she's tormented by Betty
Davis. Isn't that ironic?
Mm-hmm.
And in real life, it was the other way around.
Yes.
And that's what people love about Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And that's really I think in Trog, where Joan Crawford sort of co-stars with a caveman, that she's the scientist, and she thaws him from a glacier and starts to teach him how to love and read and be a human.
In this book, Betty Davis says about Trog, that's one time where Crawford would have been better in the title role. Because there is a short chapter in the middle of the book where, as Joan says, her publisher demanded that she give Betty Davis some equal time. So Betty is channeled in from Hollywood hell for just a moment in a chapter, which Joan then breaks up to turn her wrath on the New York Times for their discretions.
John, it's a pleasure having you on the show. The book is Mommy Smearest by Lucille Lesueur, subtitled Bitch Selfie Ain't Make You No Movie Star. It's available through our link on our website, feastoffun.com. It's a lot of fun. It makes a great book to read now that the fall is coming and the air is cooling and you want to hang out at the beach or, you know, relaxing. And get a good book.
Yeah, and I want to remind everyone, there's a sale happening right now through Labor Day. We're offering 20% off of everything on our store at feastoffun.com/store. And you can use the coupon code FUN. That spells out fun.
I almost thought you were going to say the coupon code FUCKYOU.
We have brand
new. We'll try it and see. Maybe it's still active.
See.
Fun. It's a coupon code fun. We're slashing off. We're knocking 20%. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of these coupon codes are real stingy. They're like 10%. Yeah. And you're like, go to hell, you know? It's like, they're going to tease me.
Give me a real discount.
Give me something that is actually going to lighten my load in my pocket.
We've got brand new t-shirts, mugs, tote bags. We also have a new line of leather goods. So if you're looking for a new shaving kit or a backpack, maybe a leather mouse pad, go check it out at feastoffun.com/store.
These are really nice leather goods. Mm-hmm. They're made by hand in Los Angeles in the fashion district. Mm-hmm. And I actually have the wallet. I really like using it. And actually, it's not too big, not too little. And it's just the right size. And, mm-hmm. and it looks great. And everybody goes, where'd you get that? And I go, feastoffun.com/store.
And it's not too early to get your holiday shopping done. So if you have a man in your life, get him something nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rooster all over t-shirts selling really well. And people love that one. Mm-hmm. It has this.
Yeah.
Because the thing about it is, and we have some t-shirts that are sort of like following that 1970s idea of a tuxedo on a t-shirt. And I was like, why not a 3-piece suit on a t-shirt?
Why not a rooster or a big cock?
Yeah. Or a duck with a top hat on. And so when you wear it, you sort of send this subconscious message that you're all dressed up, but you're just wearing a t-shirt, which is the best of all worlds. John Hamilton, it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you both, gentlemen. It was a privilege to be here. Thanks.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
You're a lot of fun.
Good luck on your book tour.
Thank you.
Where are you on social media? Twitter, Instagram?
Miss Crawford's publicist is not really all that good at that. We are at Mommy Smearest on Twitter, and we have 9 followers. But a couple of them are big and important. Well, they're all big and important. Let me rephrase that. And then she is also on Fakebook with her book.
Nice. Well, hopefully you get 2 more today.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.